Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and I hope you're doing well. You know, we're in the basketball season, right? It's actually conference tournaments. It's getting ready for the NCAA, and won't be long until everybody will get their brackets out and try to check and see who's going to win and who's going to lose, and maybe try to see if that number 16 seed can come up and knock off that number 1 seed or number 2 seed, whoever it is. But you know, there are kind of faceless, anonymous people who have a lot to do with this game, and those are the officials. And one of the officials is a guy that we have with us today, a Christian man, and his name is Jim Skipper. Now, Jim is one of these guys that's on the road quite a bit, particularly during this time of year. He's done games in the Big Ten. He's done games in the Mid-American. He does the Summit League, and somehow, beyond that, he also is a member. He also is a financial advisor, so he keeps two jobs. And I've known guys that do this, and boy, they have busy schedules. And I had a chance to meet with Mr. Skipper last fall at a conference that we were at, where he had the chance to speak and talk about his life a little bit. He's from the Grand Rapids area, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Jim Skipper is a guy that's had some interesting stories. So we thought, during this particular time when basketball is big, when college basketball is starting to emerge on the scene for the next month, that you might want to hear the interview that I did with Jim Skipper last fall. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from Jim Skipper, our face-to-face interview for this week. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. And it's a privilege today to have with us an NCAA basketball referee, Jim Skipper. Jim, thanks for being a part of Face to Face. Appreciate it.
You betcha.
Let's talk a little bit about most NCAA basketball officials that I know travel around a lot. They lead a lot of busy schedule and do a lot of different leagues. Now, I know you're in the Big Ten, but what are some of the other leagues that you're in?
So in the Midwest, I'm in the Big Ten, the Mid-American Conference, the Summit League, the Horizon League, and then out west, I'm in the Pac-12, the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference, and the Big Sky.
Oh, man, you do a lot. How many games a year do you do?
Yeah, I do a lot of games. I do anywhere between 2 and 4 a week.
So you get to travel a lot, and I think we talked a little bit before, J.D. Collins has been on face-to-face, and I know J.D.'s schedule used to be he'd go out of one arena, he'd maybe catch a few hours sleep and either get in his car or catch a plane and head off somewhere else. That's kind of your schedule, right?
Absolutely. And when I go out west, I typically work anywhere between 2 and 4 games in a row out west, and then come back to the Midwest.
Do you have a favorite league? Do you have a favorite kind of something that's good for you, or are they all kind of the same?
Yeah, they're all really good basketball leagues. You know, obviously the BCS leagues, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, have the best caliber of basketball, but the West Coast Conference that had Gonzaga in it. Gonzaga, as you remember, made the final game last year in the NCAA, so they're a very, very formidable team.
I know that every arena is different. For a number of years, I was involved with Indiana University and felt the excitement of what it was like when IU would play in a lot of Big Ten games, and when Duke would come in or North Carolina would come in. What are some of your favorite arenas to work in?
Yeah, you know, in the Big Ten, work Michigan, Michigan State. Indiana is very fun. Out west, you have Utah, St. Mary's, Gonzaga. Some of those have really wonderful fan bases that really take their basketball very seriously.
And, of course, when you go in, you have to be professional in every one. You can't go into a Summit League game, for instance, and say, well, this is a Summit League. Tomorrow night I got the Big Ten. Do you prepare yourself any differently for going into, like, when you're doing a game like that or when you're doing a Big Ten game?
You know, as a player, one of the things that I really did not like was when it felt like referees were taking a night off and they were calling a Division III basketball game. So I've really committed to myself to be at my best every night, because for those kids who are playing, regardless if it's a mid-major game or a Big Ten or a Pac-12 game, those kids are very excited, and it means the world to them, so I'm going to give them my best effort.
Tell me a little bit of a game that you remember, a game that you walked into and said, wow, you know, it's kind of got to make sure that I don't get caught up in the emotion of this, maybe a Duke-North Carolina game or something like that. What's a game that you remember that's a big game?
You know, I think one of the biggest games I remember doing was in the Big Ten tournament, one of my first years in the Big Ten, and Indiana was playing Wisconsin in Indianapolis. So as you can imagine, the IU fans were very vocal and into that game a great deal. And it was just a fantastic game, and it was one of my first Big Ten tournament games. So, you know, at the onset, I was a little bit nervous, but as the game went on, the game, you know, really took care of itself and flowed nicely, and you had a lot of great players playing, and that's what makes it really fun, and those are some great memories.
How long have you been doing officiating?
I've been officiating about 23 years and been officiating Division I basketball about 12.
How'd you get started?
You know, my career started very interestingly. I played college basketball at Kelvin College, and when I was a player, I was not very kind to officials. So, after about 10 years being out of college and being done with the pickup circuit, I had my old baseball coach ask me if I wanted to do some high school basketball officiating, and I said, sure, I'll try it. Didn't know what to expect, and I loved it from there, and really got a great start and was able to move rapidly, did a lot of high school games, was able to do state final games in the state of Michigan, did a lot of small college basketball games, and then had the honor of doing Division I basketball.
Tell me a little bit about some of the things that you have to do when you walk in, and you have, of course, you've got fans on you, you got college coaches on you. You never really have a home game. Officials don't have home games. So when you go in, and do you ever go in and knowing, okay, now this is going to be a situation where I've got a certain fan base, or I've got certain coaches that I'm going to have to deal with? Do you have to kind of set yourself mentally knowing that there's going to be something like Bob Knight's not in the game anymore, but, you know, kind of doing a Bob Knight type thing?
You know, I always do my homework. I mean, you know what teams you have on a given night. You know the personality of the coaches. You know the teams. Typically, even know the arenas. And there are some fan bases that are a little crazier than others. But, again, I really pride myself on being prepared, and when you're prepared and have a sense of humor and can have some fun with the game, it seems to go a lot better. And it, you know, the kids really appreciate it when you can talk to them. The coaches obviously appreciate that when you can talk to them, and from time to time, even a little chuckle with a fan goes a long way.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, and having known some officials, one thing I never thought about was the fact that when the official's out there, you got the official, you got the coaches, you got the players, and they're all separate. But you get a chance during the game to have some conversations with the players. I know in some cases, you know, not give them advice, but say, you know, watch this, or we're going to call this. Tell me a little bit about the relationship that you have with players and coaches when you're on the floor.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate. My mentor, Ted Hillary from Grand Rapids, officiated Division I basketball for a number of years, and Ted was one of the finest communicators in the game of basketball that I know. And I've learned a lot from Ted about how to communicate with coaches and players. But one of the things I can tell you is that if you get the kids on your side, it makes for a much better game. And that might be just a simple word, might be a nod of the head, might be a pat on the back, or might be giving them a hand when they're on the floor. If they can trust you and perceive you as somebody who is working hard for them, they ordinarily work well with us.
Would you call yourself in the this is not patting yourself on the back or anything, but there are officials, of course, Ted Valentine, Jim Burrow, I think's retired now, Ed Hightower. Is it all of you guys, is it kind of fun working together when you know that you have the respect among each other, among referees, and then you get a chance to mentor some of the young guys coming along?
Oh, absolutely. I think you know, I've had some great mentors along the way and continue to have great mentors. And, you know, my goal is, as I continue on with officiating, is to mentor, you know, an official or two and help them, you know, clean up their game and get to where they want to be.
What is, give us a tip. What's one thing that an official, that makes the difference between a good official and an official that's not so good?
I think that's communication. Effective communication can take a mediocre official and make them great. There are officials out there today who can make a horrible call, but because of who they are and how they can communicate, they sell the call to the coaches and the kids. And there are other officials who are great play callers, but they don't have a great personality and can't communicate as well. And as a result, they might get calls right, but they can't sell that message to the coaches and the players in a like way that a great communicator can. So that's what really separates the good from the great.
Jim Skipper is our guest. He's an NCAA official, and if you've watched NCAA basketball, particularly Big Ten basketball like I do, you've certainly seen him in various arenas and various places. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Jim's personal life a little more, so don't go away. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Jim Skipper, and we're here in Grand Rapids where he lives and has a separate life as a financial investor, I guess. Is that a financial advisor. Financial advisor. Let's talk about how Jesus Christ fits into your life. Tell me a little bit about when you found Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Yep. I kind of have an interesting background. I was adopted into a white family back in 1966, and I was the first biracial adoptee from a place called Bethany Home here in Grand Rapids. My dad was a Christian Reformed pastor, and so I learned about Jesus early in my life, and when I was a junior in college, I agreed to accept the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior, and shortly thereafter, after graduation, I got married to my wife, Leah, and we've been happily married now for 30 years, have a couple children, grown children, and the Lord's been very good to us as a family.
How does being a Christian fit into your career?
The two careers that I have, being a financial advisor and a sports official, are somewhat alike. When times are good, you're everybody's best friend, and when times aren't good, you can catch a lot of grief. And I think one of the things that I've learned is that, you know, God has created us all in His image, and that, you know, my job every day is to honor and glorify God through the work that I do and helping people. And I see both of my careers, financial advising, is helping people kind of meet the dreams and goals that they want to do later in life. And, you know, as a basketball official, I strive to be fair and to adjudicate the rules as best as I can in the context of the game.
Being an official and being an umpire, I've known some guys who are major league umpires, and I've known Ted Barrett, and I still know Ted Barrett, who's one of the top major league umpires. And I know that there are a number of Christians involved there. In your field as an official, are there other officials who are Christians and guys that you can relate to off and on?
Yeah, there's definitely guys who I think would consider themselves to be Christians, but I think there are a great multitude of guys who are not believers. And I think one of the things that I try to do is try to project myself and live my life in a way that people can say, hey, something's different about Jim Skipper. And before each game, I try to have some quiet time and reflect on, you know, the game at hand and pray. And from time to time, and I want to get better at this, but I will also pray with my crew before we go on the floor. And I think that, again, just reinforces the importance of having God as a part of our game.
If I can say this, you surprised me a little bit about talking about the number of years that you've been involved, because you're in great shape. And I know one of the things you talk about, players being in great shape, officials have to be in great shape. You got to be literally on your toes and up and down the floor. What are some of the things that you do physically to stay in shape?
Well, I take my training, my off-season training, very seriously. I have a great personal trainer. His name is Tom Trainer, kind of coincidentally. But try to work hard, eat right, and you know, do other types of exercise as well. And one of the things that as officials we always kind of laugh about is that as we get a year older every year, the kids stay the same ages.
Yeah.
And they're between the ages of 18 and 22. And every year, our little biological clock keeps ticking, and it makes it a little harder to get up and down the floor.
I know some officials, too, during the off season, they never have an off season. They do international ball. They do, I think it's called FIBA, where they do a lot of that. Have you done any of that? Have you had a chance to travel the world, do some international ball?
I've never done FIBA. They actually have a rule that at the age of 50, you can't referee FIBA anymore. So that's kind of interesting, very arbitrary. But no, I've done some international tournaments with the NCAA, which has been fun. You know, we're working so hard during the season that it's nice to have some downtime when the time comes and spend that with family and kind of regenerate the body.
What has been your highest level, shall we say? You've done some NCAA tournaments. What's the highest level you've done at NCAA?
I've never worked the NCAA tournament, worked in numerous conference tournaments, Big Ten conference tournament, Summit League conference tournament, the Mid-American, and those have all been very, very fun. And as I continue on, you know, my goal is obviously to work NCAA tournament games.
You're at a level where obviously people know you, and you have the chance to share with others about Jesus Christ. Do you do any public speaking? Do you do any anything in the community where you can use your testimony and kind of take the transition from being a basketball official into being a public speaker for Jesus Christ?
You know, I do a little bit of that, and hopefully in the future I'll be doing some more of that, because I really enjoy connecting with young people and sharing that testimony. And I really believe that, you know, more has to be done in that area, because I think, you know, that's a very important part of everyone's life and should be.
Unfortunately, one of the things that's happened in recent days with NCAA basketball has been some of the various scandals and some of the various things going on. And basketball, certainly from the time that you came in, Division I has certainly changed a lot. There's big money out there. We know that there's just all kinds of various things going on. But of course, that's kind of with a broad brush, kind of painting everyone. But does that affect you in any way at all, as far as the official and being a part of that, being a part of that culture?
It really doesn't, I don't think. I think the money is so big in the coaching ranks, with some of these coaches' salaries and the money coming out with television and some of these shoe contracts that these companies offer. So I think that's more on the coaching side. But, you know, there's always temptation when the money gets big. In anything, the temptations are there. And thankfully, we've never had, you know, scandal outside of the NBA scandal with Tim Donaghy, but an NCAA scandal that involved officials, and I'm very proud of that, and I hope that continues.
I guess one of the things I was thinking about was, over the years, as this money has come in, do you see more intensity or more on the floor or on the sidelines?
Oh, sure. Anytime the money gets bigger, the stakes are higher, and, you know, TV revenues are bigger. The Big Ten, for instance, has their own network, which is paying millions of dollars to member institutions. The Pac-12 has the same thing. Coaching salaries, you can see those. I mean, some of these guys are making $3-5 million a year. And those are very, very large dollars that are floating around the pot, and TV revenues continue to go up. So, yeah, the intensity especially ratchets up in January and February when the league season starts.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest. Nobody wants to lose a job in which they're being paid about $3-5 million a year.
You're talking about the fact of how you stay in shape physically. How do you stay in shape spiritually? You've got a tremendous schedule. How do you stay in shape spiritually?
Well, that's really one of the toughest things, because oftentimes you're traveling on the weekends. You're not able to go to your church on Sunday. So, you know, thankfully that, you know, we have online opportunities to tune into the church that I go to. Also, just personal devotions and, you know, praying and staying in the Word, reading. And I think those are the most important things. It really has to be an intentional part of my life, and I try to make that a big part of my life.
Jim Skipper, NCAA basketball official, has been our guest. We're going to wrap this up here. And Jim, I appreciate the time that you're giving us. Tell me if you have a favorite verse that means a lot to you.
Yeah, my favorite verse is Romans 15:13. It says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And I think, you know, one of the things that I take through my officiating career is that I'm one of the unique people that has gotten fired and rehired in Division I basketball, which is very rare. Hmm. And, you know, my career started with one supervisor, and I got fired by that supervisor. And then a man by the name of Sam Licklider came along and rehired me. And I give a lot of thanks to Sam for seeing, you know, the seeds of greatness that I had within me and to give me that second chance, because often, you know, once you get to the top of the ladder and you get bumped down, you often don't get another chance. But I'm very grateful to Sam Licklider for giving me another chance, and for the other supervisors that I've worked for that have given me the opportunity to officiate the great game. So that plays into that verse nicely about the hope, and again, understanding that the hope comes from God through his Holy Spirit.
Jim, thanks for being with us. Good luck. When we see you on the floor, we'll certainly be looking at you from a different perspective and praying for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Jim Skipper of the NCAA basketball official. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you're doing well, and hope you enjoyed our interview with Jim Skipper. I certainly enjoyed my time with him. Been to this this Power Up Sports Ministry conference where Jim and I met, and I've been there a number of times, and I want to thank Bill Houston for setting that up. Bill does a tremendous job and bringing in a number of Christian chaplains and Christian athletes, Christian sports figures, and it's kind of a day where we have a chance to talk about various issues that go on in the sports world involving sports chaplaincy. And Jim and I had a good chance to talk, and you heard the results of that on this past interview. But you know what else is coming? And it's springtime, and the weather's getting warm, and I got my golf clubs out one time this year and hit some balls. But one of the things that's happening is baseball. And I certainly love baseball, and we've got some various baseball interviews coming up. And, you know, there's a lot of different guys that are in the major leagues that have Christian testimonies, and it's always interesting to find out who they are. A couple of guys that got traded this year, one of them is Andrew McCutchen, who got traded to the San Francisco Giants from the Pirates, and Andrew's a guy that you could keep your eyes on. And one of the guys that we're going to have as an interview, speaking of officials, one of the guys that we're going to have as an interview in a few weeks is Ted Barrett, who is one of the top major league officials. And hope that you will be listening for that. We hope to go out to Arizona in a couple of weeks and spend some time in the sun, spend some time watching some baseball, and spend some time talking to some people who have a strong Christian testimony. One of the things that goes on in spring training is something that I think is very interesting, and that's all the various Bible studies there are. You hear a lot of spring training stories about guys that come out and kind of relax in the sun and just play some baseball and do some other things, but you don't hear a lot about the number of Bible studies that that go on out there, and there are a lot of them. There's Bible studies for minor leaguers, there's Bible studies for major leaguers, and there's even Bible studies for umpires. But we're going to, as we go along this year, we're going to give you a number of interviews of people that we have, and we're going to talk more about the spiritual life that goes on in baseball, and I hope you'll stay tuned for that. Well, as we close you out today, by the way, one other thing I want to let you know, and that's about our website. Hope you'll check us out. You can hear this interview, of course, on our website, along with a number of others that we have that are archived. And our website is at facetofaceradio.com. And we never want to forget to allow you to be a part of that. Facetofaceradio.com. Hope you'll check that out. Hope you'll tell your friends, because I want you to know that Face to Face is one of the one of the few ministries that's out there that lets you know that there's something else going on with instead of all the negative that you hear. And if you read the papers, you're going to read a lot about a lot of various negative things. Used to be, I think, pretty much people just wrote about the games and the scores, the personalities. But with all the social media that goes on now, you don't hear much about what's really happening. You hear a lot about negative things, but you don't hear a lot about the positive. And face-to-face is where we try to do that. And we do that through our website at facetofaceradio.com. Well, I want to close today with a passage that comes from the very middle of the Bible. That would be Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 27. And here's what it says. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. Something to think about there. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.